And help. So before we get started, I want you to know that a young man, for the first time, had been in service, and he was with his father. And he didn't know a lot of things about what was going on. And this young man, I guess he was about maybe 8 or 9, and he asked his father, he said, Father, what does it mean when the preacher does this? His father says, that just means everybody stand, everybody stand. He said, well, what does it mean when the preacher does this? He said, that just means everybody be seated. Well, what does it mean when the preacher does this? Everybody bow and pray. Well, what does it mean when the preacher does this? He said, it means absolutely nothing. Now he's looking at his watch. And you all know that I'm long-winded, but I'm going to try to stay within the limits of everything. Okay, so what does the Bible say about heaven and hell? We're looking at the New International Version, and we naturally want to know a little bit more about heaven and hell, especially with COVID-19 the way it is right now. COVID-19 is on the brink, that has broken out, and it's caused a lot of stress and a lot of anxiety. Last night, I preached on the subject, all stressed up and nowhere to go. We are all stressed up, but we have nowhere to go. It's just like rocking in a rocking chair. You can rock there all day long, and you're not going anywhere in that rocking chair. So we are stressed, but we're going nowhere. Dr. David Lane told us this in the book, All Stressed Up and Nowhere to Go. He's a psychotherapist, and Dr. Lane is the retired minister of Marcellus Avenue Church of Christ there in Dallas, Texas. And he's head of the therapy group at Marcellus Avenue. So therefore, he has written a book that helps me to understand that there's no need for us to be so stressed, especially about heaven and hell. First of all, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So I know that heaven has been created by God, and the earth has been created by God. It's not a Big Bang theory. Two planets never splashed together, banged together, and spat out earth. That Big Bang theory doesn't tell me where those two planets came from that banged together and spat out Earth. So therefore, I can't go along with that Big Bang theory. And God not only created the heavens and the earth, he created mankind, men and women. And he had men to be with women in the marriage relationship and reproduce. And nowadays, we're trying to have man with man and women with women, and there are no children coming along because God didn't make it like that. So we have to go back to the Bible and listen to what the Bible has to say about what has happened to us. And there are certain people that say, Darwin's theory of evolution, that Darwin says man derived from a monkey. Well, don't stand next to me, don't stand anywhere near me, and call God a monkey. God, we are made in his own image. And I don't believe that he was a monkey. I believe we're in the image of God, and I believe that Darwin's theory of evolution is just way off. So God created the heavens and the earth, and there is no adequate description of heaven. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 9, the Bible says, however, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human has conceived, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Boy, I don't know about you, but I love God so much that I want to get to heaven. Now, we can see in Revelation a little bit later on about heaven, but there's no adequate description of what God has in store for you and what God has in store for me as children of God, obedient to his word. We know that we're going to heaven when this life is all over,
But we don't know how beautiful heaven is really going to be. It's prepared for those who love him. And I love him. And I know you love him too. And that's what God has prepared for those who love him. I know my wife loves me because there are certain dishes that I really like. There are green beans and potato salad and country ham and roast beef and a hot water cornbread. And I can see some of you smiling. You may not have been to deli yet. My wife knows and I love that. And every time I'm not in the doghouse, I'll every now and then get that prepared. Every now and then I'm in the doghouse, and when somebody comes by to visit, I don't know whether to shake their hand with my paw or whether to bite them. I just don't know what to do. But I'm just letting you know how things are, and I'm letting you know that she loves me and prepares certain dishes for me. And when those dishes are laid out, I tell her it's a classic. And I eat and eat and eat, and I just love her for that, and she loves to prepare that for me, I believe. Amen. In Isaiah chapter 45, and verse number 18, heaven was prepared to be occupied. Heaven is not to be empty. Heaven is not to just be up there where God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit dwell. In Isaiah, and we were going to show this on the screen, but since we can't do that, Isaiah 45 and verse 18, for this is what the Lord says, he who created the heavens, he is God. He who fashioned and made the earth, he founded it. He did not create it to be empty, but formed it to be inhabited, he says. I am the Lord, and there is no other. So I'm very happy that God has prepared a beautiful place for me, and he wants me to be there. And if I act right, if I do what God wants me to do on this time side of life, if I study the Word of God, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15, study to show thyself approved unto God. Workmen that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. And the Bible is certainly for us to study and for us to put into our minds. 2 Timothy 3, Paul lets us know it's inspired. The inspired word of God. Talk to Timothy by Lois. And Eunice, the grandmother, the mother, it was taught the word of God. So I'm very happy that I can read and study the word and know that heaven is for me as I obey the word of God. Heaven is where the throne of God is located. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 10. I hope you have that on your outline.
Let me make sure I'm kind of following that. Okay. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 10.
The Bible says, they, the apostles, were looking intently into the sky. And as he was going, Jesus was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven. Heaven is up. We'll come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. He's coming back the same way we saw him go up. In Revelation chapter 20 and verses 11 through 15, that's not on your outline, but Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, the judgment seat of Christ is where the righteous will be rewarded. And the great white throne is where those who are not obedient to God will be judged. So I want to be at the judgment seat of Christ come judgment day. And that's in heaven above where the throne of God is located. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, the Bible says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. The Bible says, the pioneer, the fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the protector of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. The Bible says, scorning his shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. That means that we're surrounded by those who have gone on. Abraham, Isaac, Moses, all of them. Paul, all who have been obedient to the word of God. We're surrounded by them. We're surrounded by saints who have already left this time side of life. And they are witnesses as to what God has done, what he will continue to do for those who are obedient to the word of God. So we throw off anything that hinders us. Sin. We don't want to be negligent to the will of God. We don't want to make sin a way of life. Somebody says, well, you told a lie. The grace of God will be protected of us if we don't make lying a way of life. I don't want you to walk around thinking that you're going to hell for everything that we do every day. And if we were to be here at 7 o'clock and you said, I'm going to be here at 7 o'clock. You told the leadership, you told the minister, I'm going to be here at 7 o'clock. And you get here at 7:01. Is that a lie? Am I going to hell for that? I want you to understand that the Bible says that heaven has been prepared for us, is surrounded by great clouds of witnesses who are letting us know just how beautiful it is to stay in touch with God. And to persevere, that means to continue. Don't give up. The race is not to the swift. It's to the one that endures. And I'm so happy to know that because I used to run track. And I didn't come in first place all the time. I just couldn't get there for first place all the time. But every now and then, we would get a little trophy or a little prize for running the race. And that's what's going to happen to all of us who stay in the spiritual race and keep on striving toward perfection. Strive toward perfection. We are not perfect people. Only Jesus Christ is perfect. There are three heavens. The first heaven, I would have you to realize, is the sky, the atmosphere. You might want to write that down. The first heaven is the sky or the atmosphere. And you can find these three heavens, so to speak, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and the verses of 2 through 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 2 through 4. Paul talks about a man caught up in the third heaven. How can you be caught up in the third heaven if there's not a first and a second heaven? So the second heaven would be regarded as the universe with all the stars in it. First heaven would simply be the sky, the atmosphere. Second heaven, the universe with all the stars in it. And this is what theologians think. And then the third heaven is where the throne of God is, where the kingdom of God is. That's the location of heaven. John chapter 14 and verse number 2, the Bible says, in my Father's house are many mansions. So heaven has many mansions or many rooms. And we can't comprehend all of that. We can't understand that. I don't think I can understand that. I look at this as a room. But heaven has many rooms. In other words, let's just put it like this. Heaven has space for every one of us that's obedient to his word. And you can't miss that. You can't miss that. It has a place for every one of us. And before sin came, God intended for us to remain on this earth forever. There would be no death. But sin brought death. He said, well, how can all of us occupy earth? I don't question God. I just know that if Adam and Eve had not sinned, we probably never would have died. And maybe I might not have been here. Maybe some of us might not have been here because we might have thought the earth can't hold all of us. I don't know. I just know that I don't question God. And if there had been no sin, there would be no death, no physical death. John 14, there are many mansions, many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? If I go to prepare a place for you, there I am, there ye may be also. Whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas said unto him, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the man, unto God, but by me. No man comes to God, but by him. Heaven is described by John, while on the Isle of Patmos, as New Jerusalem. And this is the whole book of John, Revelation chapter 21. I'll just read just a few verses of that. Revelation chapter 21. Let's go there just for a minute. Revelation chapter 21. Bible says, starting in the first verse, John on the Isle of Patmos, because he had been banned there for preaching and teaching the truth, it says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Revelation 21 and 2, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for a husband. Those of us who are married know what it looks like to have our bride adorned for us. Amen. Now, I know Ethel had some boyfriends, but when she came down that aisle dressed like she was dressed, and I was standing there with the preacher waiting for her, I forgot about all those boyfriends because she was coming just for me. You men ought to say amen. You wives ought to be punching your husband and say amen. Because that's a beautiful, that's so beautiful to see. John said, I saw it. It's prepared for a bride adorned for a husband. I saw the holy city coming down. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. This is King James. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. No more tears. There shall be no more death. Hallelujah. Neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto them that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Revelation 22. It gets right on into heaven, and he showed me a pure river of water of life. Revelation 22, verse 1, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded a fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Revelation 22 and verse 3, there shall be no more curse But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and there shall be no need for a candle, neither light nor the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. I don't know about you, but I want to make heaven my home. God's waiting place, paradise, is in heaven. Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 43. Paradise. We say when someone dies that they're going to paradise, waiting for heaven as their final destination. One of the criminals, Luke 23, 39 through 43, who hung there hurled insults at Jesus. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what we deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. And then he said to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him and said, truly I tell you, today you shall be with me in paradise. Heaven is where paradise is. Paradise is in heaven. And I don't know about that waiting place, but I don't want to be in Gehenna waiting for Tartarus. I don't want to be in a waiting place waiting for hell's fire. I want to be in heaven, in paradise, or wherever paradise is. No evil will occupy heaven. Revelation 21 and 7. The Bible says nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Boy, I'm looking forward to going to heaven. And then it says in Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So I'm looking forward to being in heaven. And we naturally want to be in heaven. When this life is all over, I want to hear the Lord say to me, well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Come, I make thee ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Oh, Lord. The joy of heaven. Just think about being on this earth and how sometimes it has its sadness, it has its pain, it has its suffering. Can you imagine a day when you would see people break into a store and smash things and grab and run? Did you ever think that you would see a day when somebody would walk up to you and rob you? And not only rob you, kill you. Did you ever think you would see a day when people would walk up in the church house and shoot and kill folk? And you ever thought about what's going on in this day and time where murder is on a rampage, where COVID has come into existence, monkeypox, all kinds of things? God is awakening us. God is talking to us. God is letting us know. Who in the world would have thought that the churches would shut down? And don't think I'm trying to judge anybody on what has happened. We have to be on the side of caution. But who in the world would have thought that things would be the way they are right now? Depleted memberships because of COVID-19. Now, my philosophy of that is that I need groceries. And I'm going to Kroger. H.G. Hill. I'm going to all kinds of places to get my groceries. I'm going to the doctor. When the doctor said, I can't come to you, you come to me. I'm even going to Walmart. My wife and I can't find our hotel sometimes when we go to a city. And we'll look up, and my wife will say, turn over there. Because she spotted some sign way off in the distance said, Walmart. When she found a Marriott. Whatever, Sheraton, but But she can find those Walmarts, TJ Maxx. If you're going to go to TJ Maxx, if men, I'm going to say men and women, if men going to get a haircut, if women definitely going to get their hair fixed, you can go to church. And at some point, I'm glad the leadership has opened up, and I'm glad things are back up the way they should be. And I'm not condemning anybody saying anything about anything. I'm not saying anything. There's the first heaven, the atmosphere, the sky, the second heaven, and the third heaven is where I want to go. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, chapter 12, verses 2 through 4. So now, with the Bible saying all that it is about heaven, and 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7, God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit, the holy angels occupy heaven. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is with us on earth now. Everyone that's baptized receives the gift of the Holy Spirit. There are three that are one. They are together in their thoughts. They are together in their actions. They are one. Revelation 12 and 7, Michael and his angels fought against the devil, and his angels cast the evil one out of heaven. So what does the Bible say about hell? Turn over on the back of that sheet you have. Hell is a place of punishment and separation from God. A place of punishment and separation from God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you, Thessalonians, because you believed our testimony to you. Paul says to the Thessalonians, hell is a place of punishment, it's a separation from God. I don't ever want to be separated from God. I've told you before, I don't like flying. I don't like it because I'm not in control. In the car, I'm in control, boy, I'm telling you. If somebody's coming toward me, I can turn that car real fast. I can slam on those brakes. I can press that gas, and I can do this, and I can do that. Somebody coming up behind me don't look like they're going to stop. I can turn. Oh, boy, I'm a good driver. And that's the most unsafe thing you can do is go somewhere in a car. The safest, they say, is on a plane. But I'm not in control on the plane. And if the pilots would just let me come up there and sit in the cockpit, I'd probably be so scared I'd run back in the coach. But I'm telling you that we feel in control. And some people are saying this Bible is outdated. They're saying that was for them. That's not for us. I want you to know it is for us. And we're going to be judged by the Word, by Jesus, by the Word of God, by this Bible. Yes, it's for us. Hell is a place for the wicked. Revelation 20 and 15. Anyone whose names were not found in the book of life was thrown in the lake of fire. Oh my goodness. Hell is a place prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew 25 and verse number 41. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me. You are cursed into eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Wow. That's a terrible place. Terrible place. And if you would think of like some individuals who have been sentenced to death, they tell me that those individuals, and I visit the prison quite often, they tell me that those who are sentenced to death are in one cell, and I saw the cell, and they are there for 23 of 24 hours. They have only 1 hour to come out of that cell. Boy, that's torture for me. Some people say, well, they deserve it. Well, I was visiting a young man who had been put into solitary confinement. And as I was visiting him, they sent me to a room about half the size of this room. And we sat and we talked and we talked and we talked. I got a little afraid because he started talking about my daughter and the oldest one and how much he liked her and how pretty she was. And I didn't know when he was going to get out, but I was going to make sure he wasn't going to be with her, you know. But he was talking and talking and talking. And then I said, well, I'm going to have to go now, but I've enjoyed talking to you. And he said, oh, Brother Crowder, don't go right now. And I said, well, I got to go. What's wrong? He says, I'm in solitary. And I said, why are you in solitary? He said, I'm locked up 23 out of 24 hours. I'm tortured in there. And I said, what did you do to get in solitary? He said, well, when the guards came by, I threw feces on them, and I threw urine on them, and blah, blah, blah. I thought to myself, that's why you're in solitary. But he was talking about how terrible it was. And he said, if you just stay with me, I can sit here and talk to you for hours, and I don't go back to solitary until you leave with your visitation. And I'm thinking about the parking ticket I'm going to get, and I'm thinking about the trouble I'm going to get in for not going to this assignment or that assignment. Hell is worse than solitary confinement. Hell is a place prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me. Prepared for the devil and his angels. Punishment in hell is eternal. Matthew 25, 46. Then they will go away to an eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. It's going to be punishment over and over and over again. Let's go back to you men. Y'all know how you cross your wives. I mean, I know how I cross mine. And you all know that that couch doesn't feel good. But women claim that bedroom, that master bedroom. They claim that. And if you've ever been on a couch with lumps and all kind of stuff on it, especially where the dog's been, you don't want to be there. So you do whatever's necessary to get back in the master bedroom. Y'all laughing. I see some of you women laughing. Y'all know you've been there, man, or somewhere in a chair, an easy chair, or out of the room until they let you back in the room. That's torture. That's a terrible place. I don't like it. I don't like it. You say you've been there. Yeah, I've been there. Yeah, I've been there. I want to be back in the bedroom. I want to be with my wife. I don't want to eternally be separated from her. So I try to do what's right. I try to get back in. I call one of the children. I get whatever I can do. The grandchildren. Hello, Gigi, may I speak to Papa? Papa's not here right now. I want to speak to Papa. She's got to call me back into the bedroom so I can talk to the grandchildren and my children. Separation is a terrible thing for eternity. Oh my goodness. Punishment in hell is eternal. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2. The Bible says, multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. The end of time. But Michael and his angels will do, separate us. And then hell is a place of fire and weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 13, 41 through 42. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil, and they will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's a terrible place. I don't want to go there. Hell is for the disobedient sinners. Hell is a second death. Revelation 21 and 8. The Bible says, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the adulterers and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur or brimstone. And this is the second death. Hell is nowhere anybody wants to go. I look at people and I teach them about marriage. And I look at the young people, and some of them will look back at me, and I know they're not married, but they're with their loved one or their boyfriend or their girlfriend. And I'll say to them, when are you going to get married? Oh, we got to get to know one another. We got to experience one another. You know, I don't know whether I can be with this person or that person, and we got to live together for a while. That's committing fornication. Revelation 21:8 says that if you're not married, you're committing fornication. You end up in hell. Liars. Just lying and cheating. Putting your dog down on the income tax as a dependent. There's something wrong with folks who just tell a lie. And it just comes out so easily. Fornication is just so easy. Adultery is just so easy. We have to keep our minds pure. I can't be looking at dirty movies and dirty things on the internet. And I was so glad. Oh, man, I was so glad. And you elders, forgive me. But somebody told the elders at Jackson Street Church of Christ when I was there, Brother Crowder was looking at porn on the internet. And sure enough, it was on my computer. And I called for somebody to come who was a very good technician. And I said, this just sprang up on my computer. And I want you to get it off. I want you to get all that filth off. And where it got around, you know, Brother Crowder sitting in his office looking at porn on the internet. Brother Crowder sitting there. And then the elders had a computer. And it came up on theirs. And I told the congregation, I said, see, y'all been lying about me. Now what about those elders? They didn't like it. I thought I was going to get fired. But it came up on their computer just like it did on mine. Stuff can pop up, and we need to be careful to keep our minds centered on Christ, because all these things make us do things like Revelation 21:8 that leads us into hell's fire. Nobody wants to be in hell's fire. And then lastly, hell has no power over the church. Revelation 20:6. Blessed and holy are those who share the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. We get into that 1,000 years and say that we're in it right now, and others say, well, it's coming. All I want to do is to leave this earth, and I want to be with the Lord, and I want to hear the Lord, as I said, say, well done. I want the Lord to say to me, well done. I don't want the Lord to cast me into hell's fire, and that's why I try to live right. Hey, Brother Crowder, you're living a perfect life. No, I'm striving toward perfection. I love music. And I used to listen to music on a station. And that station was just blaring out all kind of foolishness. And I was listening to the beat. And my wife said to me, why are you listening to that? And I said, listening to what? She said, do you know what you're listening to? Are you listening to the words? I started listening to the words. Something as simple as songs over the radio. I started listening to the words of those songs. And I turned that station, and I don't go back to that station. I stay away from that station. I start listening to things that are holy and righteous and good. Do you like other kinds of music? I like all kinds of music. Jazz. I like the blues. But I've learned how to discern and to listen to things that don't get my mind off of trying to make heaven my home. I've learned how to turn the station. I've learned how to turn the channel. I've learned how to walk in a straight and narrow way and stay in it more than the broad and wide way, because the devil is after every one of us, and he knows what we can be taken to him by. He's got your number and your number and your number and your number and my number and everybody's number. That's why we have to keep striving toward perfection.
trying our best to do what's right.
What does the Bible say about heaven and hell? You got just a few scriptures there. The Bible is full of all kinds of scriptures about heaven and hell. May God bless you. May God keep you. If you would like to come to Jesus, even right now, I want to extend the invitation. You come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized, rising and walking in the newness of life, Romans 6 and 4, and then looking forward to being added to his church, Acts 2:47. Looking forward to hearing him say, well done. Looking forward to being with him from everlasting to everlasting to everlasting, forever and ever and ever. I'm looking forward to that. Matthew 16:13-19, his church. I'm glad that you're members of Fairview Church of Christ. I'm glad that I'm a member of Northside Church of Christ. I'm glad that I'm a member of the Lord's church we read about in the Bible. Baptism. Can you imagine a minister telling you that if you just pray this prayer that I pray with you, you'll be born again? Ain't nowhere in the Bible. Acts chapter 2, when the Romans and the Jews crucified Christ and Peter and the rest of the apostles stood up on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the resurrection of Christ, 10 days after his ascension. What must we do to be saved? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It hasn't changed. Don't ever change the Bible. Because the Lord is going to judge us out of the words written in the Bible, out of Jesus who is the Word. If we'll stand right now and you want to come and dedicate your life, come to Jesus and be baptized, you may do so. And then I'm going to turn the services back over to your fine minister. Please stand. And who can give us a sign?